Thank you for listening to the Ablaze Church Sermon Podcast. Our purpose at Ablaze is to love God, love others, follow Jesus, and tell others. If you are looking for a church home in the Tulsa area, we'd love to have you join us for worship on Saturdays at 6:30 p.m. or Sundays at 10:30 a.m. For more information, please visit our website at ablazechurch.org.
Dr. Spomer and I, after Easter, have been leading a new series, and the series is called The Power of One Life. Dr. Spomer, 2 weeks ago, spoke about the power to see. Jesus said to the disciples, "I'll meet you in Galilee, and there you'll see me." The power to share, go and make disciples of all nations. Today, I want to speak to you about the power to believe. Would you bow your heads with me for a word of prayer? Father, here and now, we're going to look at your words. Then I have the privilege to speak about these words. May my words be your words. In the name of Jesus, whom John proclaims as the Christ and the Son of God, I do pray. Amen. The power to believe. Let me tell you about the Bible. The Bible is brutally honest about what can rip Christianity apart and destroy your faith. Listen to the words of Paul and how brutally honest he is. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 17. If Christ has not raised from the dead, then your faith is futile, powerless, because you remain in your sin. If Jesus did not rise from the dead, if he did not have the power over death, then he had no power over sin. What makes you think then that you could receive power over death or sin from him? But the good news for us is that Jesus did rise from the dead, showing his power over death and sin. Listen to these words. You've probably heard them at a funeral at one time. The sting of death is sin. And the power of sin is the law. Of course, the law of God. There is consequence for sin. But thanks be to God, he has given us the victory through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It is John who's talking about that power to believe in these words. But before we take a really close look at them this morning, I'd like to share with you the story right before these words. Okay? How many of you have ever heard of Doubting Thomas in the Bible? Raise your hand. Oh, so you know the story. Let me share it with you. Easter, of course, Jesus rises from the dead. He shows himself to his disciples, to the women who went to the empty tomb. But there was a disciple missing. His name is Thomas. After Jesus shows himself to disciples, he leaves. Thomas shows up, and the disciples are trying to tell him the good news that he is risen. And this is how Thomas responds. You can just see him. Humbug. Unless I put my finger in the nail holes of his hands, and unless I put my hand in his side, listen to his words, I will never believe. Oh, Thomas gets such a bad rap in this. Oh, he's doubting Thomas. But I think all of us here and the world has a lot more in common with Thomas than we want to admit. Now, 8 days later, the disciples are once again in a locked room. And guess who shows up? Jesus. He just kind of, in his glorified body, just kind of walks through those doors, and he's in the presence of the disciples, and this is what he says, "Peace be with you." And with no conversation between him and Thomas beforehand, Jesus shows himself all-knowing and knowing exactly, this is important, what Thomas needs. He turns to Thomas and he says, "Thomas, come here." He invites Thomas. This is so important. He invites Thomas in this way. Stop doubting. Stop in your unbelief and believe. Jesus invites. And Thomas puts his finger in the nail holes, puts his hand in the side. And what happens? You know that dramatic scene? What a conversion. He drops to his knees. He looks up to Jesus and he says, "My Lord," that is the one who fulfills the Old Testament promises of Messiah. Then he says, "My God." He's proclaiming Jesus as the Son of Man and the Son of God, proclaiming him as 100% man, the incarnate Savior of the world and God Almighty. "My Lord and my God." And listen to Jesus' response. "You believe because you have seen?" Now listen to these words. They're so important because they're talking about you this morning here. "Blessed are those who have not seen yet believe." Let me paraphrase it. You believe because you have seen. How much more powerful are those who have not seen but yet believe? To be blessed by God is to have power. And you have it here this morning if you believe. Now I want to share with you another Thomas who's more current. How many of you ever heard of Thomas Jefferson? Raise your hand. President of the United States of America. What you may not know about him is he was a doubter, much like the Thomas in the Bible. Did you know that? What Thomas Jefferson did was promote his own Bible, or Gospels. He took the four Gospels and he cut out every miraculous thing in the Gospels. All the miracles. Even the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And he put that together and said, that was his Bible. And basically what he did was he turned Jesus without the miracles into just an ordinary moral man. Like Buddha. Or Hindu. But what he could not cut out of the Gospels was those incredible proclamations and claims that Jesus made that no other man had ever made before and fulfilled. Let me give you an example of that in Scripture. It was the Jews who came to Jesus when he was headed to Jerusalem for a festival. And they gathered around Jesus and they basically said, "All right, Jesus, quit beating around the bush. We want you to tell us plainly, are you the Messiah, the Christ?" Jesus looks at all those Jews and said, "I've already told you, but you don't believe. At least believe in the miracles that I have done in front of you. From the Father." You see, you don't listen to me because you're not part of my sheep. Now, those that are my sheep, they listen to me. They know my voice. And someday, I will give them eternal life. Did you hear that? what Jesus was proclaiming? I will give them eternal life. He's saying, I have eternal life. Then he says to those Pharisees, you believe in the Father, right? And they're going, oh yeah, we believe in the Father, or the Jews, because they're monotheistic. Oh yeah, the Father is everything. You know that nobody has more power than the Father. Nobody can snatch anything out of the Father's hand. You can just see those Jews going, yes, finally he's talking our language. Then he says, okay, here's it as plainly as I can put it. I and the Father are one. It sets them off on a course that they can't turn back on. They're going to kill him. They pick up stones. And as they're picking up the stones and ready to throw Jesus, hold up. Which of the miracles that I've done are you going to stone me for? They said, we're not going to stone you because any of your miracles that prove who he is. We're going to stone you because you, a mere man, claim to be God. You see, it's our sinful nature. It's our doubts that want to make Jesus just a mere man. But that's not what he was. He was so much more. Let's take a look at how John brings it together as a summary of his gospel. Turn with me once again to the reading that I've read. You follow along, and we're going to look at it just a little closer. Now, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. Meaning you have the four gospels and they have all the miracles. Miracles after miracles after miracles. But not John. John just has seven. And he calls them signs. Do you know what the difference between a miracle and a sign is? A miracle is that out of this kind of world, incredible, unbelievable event or thing that happens. Oh, that's a miracle. Now, a sign points to something. I don't know about your children or grandchildren, but my children did, and my grandchildren, when they see the golden arches, that points them to something. A Happy Meal. Now, it's not the Happy Meal, but they know that leads them to the Happy Meal. John records these signs because they point to something. They point to Jesus and the fulfillment of his messiahship and kingship in the Old Testament. Like the first sign, maybe you remember in John chapter 2, the wedding at Cana. Jesus turns water into wine. He shows his power over natural things, nature. The second great sign, you might say, is a sick boy, and Jesus heals him. Well, what's so big about that? Boys get sick and, you know, recover all on their own. And it goes to another level. Then there's a paralytic. There's somebody who's just can't walk all his life. Jesus says, your sins are forgiven. Get up and walk. He forgives sins? What kind of a proclamation is that? Get up and walk, and he did. The feeding of the 5,000, it points to Jesus, the one who feeds spiritually. And then one of the last ones is the resurrection of Lazarus. Jesus has the power over death. And if he has the power over death, every Jew knows that the wages of sin is death. And then that great sign where Jesus himself rises from the dead. Wow. Victorious. The victory that is ours, and we get that plugged into that. And John says, you know, Jesus did many other signs that pointed, but they're not written in this book. But notice what he says now, verse 31. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, that is, Jesus, this man, is also the Christ, the Messiah of the Old Testament, the one proclaimed in 39 books that we hold so dear in that current event time. Not only is this Jesus born in Bethlehem a man, but he's 100% God, the Son of God. Nobody has proclaimed that, but Jesus did. And that by believing, you may have life. And I'm going to say a powerful life. As Jesus said, I have come to give you life. Life abundantly. Wow. My question is, what are you going to glean from these two verses found in the summary, the preface, you might say, of the Gospel of John? This is what I think you should glean and contemplate this week. The first is, Jesus was who he said he was, the Messiah, the Savior of the world, the Creator of heaven and earth, who came to earth to die for you. That Jesus did what he said he was going to do. He rose from the dead. That means he has the power over death itself and over sin. And he can give eternity to you, to you, to you, and to me, the sheep. Take that home with you. Live it and breathe it. The second thing I think we all need to glean from this is that he has given us the power to believe. Think about those disciples. They saw the holes. They saw the risen Lord. Have you? No. How can you believe? You haven't seen. The Holy Spirit has plugged you into that power through the Word. Listen again. But these are written. What you're holding in your hands, folks, so that you may believe in Jesus and have life in Jesus. You have the power. I cannot by my own reason or strength believe in Jesus Christ. But the Holy Spirit has plugged me in, called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, given me life, a powerful life. Do you realize how powerful your life is? First of all, you believe without seeing. That's one big blessing. And if I dare say, that's a sign in your life. Let me say it again. That's a huge sign in your life that points you to God if you believe Jesus is the Savior. The power in your life is a sign to you. There is power in knowing your sins, that you stand guilty before God. There is power in knowing that he forgives you and forgets your sins. There is power in knowing Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. There is power in not fearing death, because you know death has no sting, that if you die, you're just going to fall asleep and Jesus is going to take you to heaven. You're going to wake up. There's power in that. There's power in knowing that when you pray, God listens. There's power in knowing you know the Creator of heaven and earth who's with you always. There is power in knowing the car that you drive, the house that you have, the life that you have, the children you have, the grandchildren you have been given to you by a gracious, loving God. There is such power. power in that. There's power in reading the scriptures, celebrating the Lord's Supper. There's power in baptism that is given to you. You have such power and blessings in your life. The air that you breathe, there is power in that. Do you realize that? When you leave God's house today and you're driving in your car, wherever you're going, there is power in just being alive in Christ. The last thing I want you to glean from this and take home is that there are a lot of doubters. There's a lot of unbelievers in your life. Notice I didn't say the world. You know that. There's a lot of unbelieving, doubting people in your personal life and realm that God has given you. He's given you to have life in His name. I said in starting out, there's a lot of people in our world that have a lot in common with doubting Thomas. We all can relate to that. I'm going to ask you here and now, how many of you know somebody who's a doubter and an unbeliever in your life? Yeah, you do. Not every child you bore, not every grandchild, not every neighbor, not every in-law, son-in-law, or sister, or daughter-in-law, or stepmother, or father believes. There's a lot of people who doubt and don't believe. Remember, Thomas did not believe. I will not believe. And I'm here to tell you, that's okay. Because we all were there at one time. But the good news that I can share with you this morning is there is an answer. And you may not like this, but you're a part of it. Well, I'm going to take that back. There's power in knowing you're part of the answer. Amen. How will they know? Listen, this is already answered in the words of Scripture. Just listen to these words. They're so beautiful. Romans 10, verse 14. Just listen. How then will they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in Him of whom they have never heard? Now, I want you to think of that unbeliever. Oh, you can say that backslider, that doubter, that one who's never heard, never believed. Think of that person. How will they know? How will they hear? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent, as it is written? How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. Now, if you're here this morning and you think he's talking about me, you could never be so wrong. You know who he's talking about? Nudge the person right next to you. Just do that. And if not, no, he's talking about you. You are the one. How beautiful are the feet of those who preach. Preach just means share the good news. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed what has been heard from us? So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. If you think for one moment he's talking about me, you could be so wrong. You couldn't be any more wrong, I should say. He's talking about you. You have the good, you have the power. And you can share that. Listen, how many unbelievers, people doubting, do you know versus just little old me? Multiply all that you know, it's a lot more than me. You have the good news and the power just like I do. You can share the good news. Let me tell you about every unbeliever, every person that you know that doubts or doesn't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Let me tell you what God says. I have put eternity in their hearts. You don't have to do that. It's already there. You see, the good news that we can share with other people, yes, is our life, a changed life, a life of power and joy in this down world. But there's so much more. Listen, doubting Thomas, Jesus met him where he was at. Jesus met him where in what he needed. Unless I put my finger. Jesus invited him. What is the gospel of the good news, the good news we carry? Hey, Jesus will meet you where you're at. Every person you know need. So many preachers and so many churches. Oh, what we need to do, we need to lead people in the sinner's prayer. Yeah, that helps. And as a part of it, but that's just, you can't put the Holy Scripture in that little box. You can say to somebody, listen, God knows where you're at. And in that quiet time, if you ever wanted to know if Jesus is real, then draw near. And the promise is he'll draw near to you. Listen, there's a prayer on the first chapter of the Epistle of James. And it goes like this. If you want wisdom, ask for it. God says, I guarantee I'll give it to you. Let me tell you a prayer that will always be answered yes, according to the Bible. Lord, give me wisdom. Did you know that? No matter what you face in life. Imagine if you would tell a friend, a child, a doubter, hey, if you ever question if there is a God, just say, Lord, give me wisdom to know you. He'll answer that. Could it be that simple? Oh, yeah. Because the Lord works in every way to meet people where they're at. But he uses you to bring the good news. How many of you have ever heard these words? Ask and you shall receive. Seek, you'll find. And knock, the door will be opened. How many of you ever heard those words? You know how we in our Christianity look at those words? Oh, if I need a new car, I got to start asking. If I need a new house, I need to start seeking. Really? Think about it this way. It's God saying, I want to use your feet and your voice to share those words with unbelievers, doubters. And just say to them, hey, if you ever get a chance and you want to know there is a creator of heaven and earth and the Lord exists, ask and he will answer you. Ooh. Seek. With an open mind, just seek God, and he will enable you to find. That's all you'd have to say. Oh, I mean, you're not going to tell me to read the Bible from cover to cover? No. I mean, you're not going to tell me to come to church? No. Just seek. That's the good news. And you'll find. Those words are good news right from Scripture, from God. And listen to this one. Knock. And the door will be opened. You know, we in our Christianity too, in our vast knowledge of Scripture, we jump to Revelation. The church at Laodicea. Oh yeah, there's Jesus at the door knocking. And if we open, he will come in. Oh yeah, he will. You know what Jesus knocking at our door is? You ready? Wounds, hurts, pain, and suffering.
What?
Yeah. Wound. Have you ever wondered why Jesus kept the holes in his hands and his son in his feet? You know why? Because it's real. He lived in a real world. Why not just rise from the dead, his immaculate body, you know, the glorified body, walk through a door and no holes? Now, this is reality, folks. See, you know, if there was a hole in my hand and I was Jesus, what would you be seeing through that hole? Me. You see, when we have wounds, and we do, when life is real, it squeezes us down, and all of a sudden it changes us. Eternity comes out when we're wounded, which we have buried so far down. Nobody considers eternity so much more than when someone they love is headed that way or has gone that way. Or when the wounds and the hurts and the pains make us realize we're mortal, we think of immortality. Why did Jesus keep the wounds? Because we have wounds. And they have a purpose, and there's a reason. God uses them for the good in our life, to give us power to overcome them. Let me tell you about the biggest power trip you could ever have in your life. When you see somebody else fall on their knees and say to Jesus, "My Lord and my God," there's nothing more powerful than that. When you can teach your children, "Now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep. And if I should die before I wake, I know the Lord my soul will take for Jesus' sake." Wow. You have the power to share. One day I was writing a little Jeremiah, and I said, "Jeremiah," before we got in the car and take it off, I said, "Put your seatbelt on, I don't want to lose you." And he says, "Dad, how can you lose me when you know exactly where I'd be?" And in my heart, I'm going, "I hope he means heaven." And I fear and trepidation. I said, "Jeremiah, what do you mean?" He says, "Because I'd be in heaven, Dad." You want to talk about power in my life that I can share Jesus with my children and they can believe? Oh, folks. Jesus is who said he was. He came to, did what he said he was going to do. He has given you the power of life, life abundantly, here and now in current events. And you can share it. You see, as power, source, you notice there's two plugs, don't you? One is for you and one is for another. It just keeps going and going. As you drive home today, as you're alone with Christ this week, ask him to show you someone that you can share the good news with. Ask him, "Lord, use my feet. Let me just share with somebody who's doubting, like a Thomas," and invite them to ask, to seek, to knock, to draw near. And you know the promise. That power is yours. Amen.